get right into it. Let's start with the final days of the week. Oh man, I don't know how you guys feel about that, you know, because right now we have it's supposed to be tomorrow, I believe. Yeah, tomorrow around like 4 p.m. that's specific times, but online play and all functionality for online communication comes with them. So pretty much goodbye to multiplayer for any.
Yeah, I'll be completely honest. For the most part, I saw it coming.
Yeah, well, it's an older generation. Of course, it was going to kind of die off a little bit. Everybody has to move on to the next thing.
Yeah, plus the Wii U was like a dying console anyway. So
I feel like it didn't get as much traction as it, you know, could have.
Yeah, I mean,
as much as they wanted to.
Yeah. What happened, Don?
I was just saying, I'm surprised they didn't do it earlier, you know, since it didn't do as well as like the Wii and the DS, you know, the previous consoles.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I'm just as surprised as you that it lasted this long for online, but I get it for the functionality as far as like the store and stuff like that, because there are people who retro game and they like to still buy like old games off the thing.
Right.
But as far as like online, as far as like playing online, how many people really played online with those two systems?
Oh yeah, right. It's like dead on arrival for a lot of them.
Yeah, it's a very, very low percentage of people cooperative play on Nintendo 3DS. I mean, Wii U had what? Smash Brothers, and then what? Mario Kart, I guess. But like, how often do you really play online with those? I don't even play online with Mario Kart on my Switch. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The most that I get online with any Nintendo console is Switch with the Smash Brothers every now and again. And that's like whenever a fucking solar eclipse comes. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
We're going to rise tomorrow.
Yeah. Like yeah. It's not very often that I personally play any online game.
Right. Yeah, that would be a good metric to measure like how much the traffic was online on the Wii versus like the Switch or like even the DS. I know the DS did, of course, way better than the Wii U. But...
Yeah, with the 3DS kind of like didn't do it for me because I guess it's my brain or my fucking eyesight is horrible, but the 3D part of it was just hurting my eyes. So I didn't really care for that functionality. And then they came out with the 2DS. I can still play 3DS games, but without the 3D. And you know, of course, I can keep the Switch off and whatnot. But again, never really played with any online play or anything. The only thing you really used online for was just buy the game.
Yeah, is a lot of the Wii U games on the Switch now? Like, did they port some of those games that were exclusively?
There's some games reported, but not a lot of them. Because you know nowadays the games are like remastered or redone or something.
Right. Yeah, because I always wondered that if they bring a lot of DS games or like the Wii U games onto the Switch, that'd be smarter to do. So especially if they're closing down the stores.
Yeah. So rest in peace to you know the Wii and the Wii U, whatever, and Nintendo 3DS. Guys, if you can subscribe and comment. You know, we would love to see how you guys feel about the whole shutdown for, you know, the Nintendo 3DS and Wii U. Because, you know, there is people who are out there that feel some type of way or are kind of upset about it. But, you know, it was bound to happen because it's so old. It's way too old.
Right.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with what Don said about it earlier, that I feel like it just in general didn't get as much traction as it could have.
Right.
I mean, I had a Wii U. Not a Wii U, I had a Wii. Never got
to
the
I had
Wii U
because
I skipped the Wii U.
And then I stopped at the Wii.
Yeah,
I'm
got the. I had all the Nintendos, all the different Nintendo DSs. I had all of them. The regular one, the Lite, the 3DS, the 2DS. I had all of them. But the Nintendo Wii, I only had the Wii, not the Wii U. Because I didn't really care for it. At that time, I had like Xbox, PlayStation, Xbox 360.
At that point, you're like, why even do it?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the tech people had a lot of from the technical aspects of the Wii U, how it controlled and everything. I think that's a lot of why it fell too.
I guess because they wanted to be different, like always. Just like they got the Switch, that's different. Nobody else did that, and then now everybody's doing it. But like the Wii U was different because it had a screen attached to your. We had a screen attached to the controller with the Sega Dreamcast, but that was a part of the memory card. And when you play certain games, it'll show the thing, like a little Tamagotchi almost. But it wasn't like a full-on screen how the Wii U had it.
Yeah, it's like the PS1, the second version where you had the screen on top of the PS1, that little screen.
Yeah, that was it was an attachment. It was a thing. You just had that separately. But as far as the, like being on the controller itself, that was like innovative at that time, and it was new and it was cool. But then sometimes it didn't function right. Sometimes it got weird.
It's equivalent to the PlayStation Portal, how that felt with the PlayStation when they tried that.
Yeah, they kind of took that concept or whatever. But the PlayStation Portal is going for more that remote play because they know some people. Like, we have families, so somebody would be on the TV, and then you'd be like, damn, I really wish I could play my PlayStation right now. But you can with the Portal, because it's, like, direct. It's not like using your phone. It's supposed to be more clean, like a cleaner, crisper way to do it.
Right.
Which is still kind of stupid. They should have at least added some kind of, like, web browser or something.
Yeah.
Make it more, you know, user-friendly or whatever. Yeah, so... Let's move on to the next thing. Since April Fool's passed, let's talk about some of the best April Fool's, fake things that came out for gaming. I've seen something about like the PAL world was gonna have a dating sim, and it was like PAL world more than just pals.
Oh my god!
And it's like coming April 1st, 2025. But that was fake, obviously. It's some funny shit.
Real quick, how many people do you think actually fell for that one and got excited for it?
All the dweebs.
They're like, what? For sure. More than pals.
Baldur's Gate, all that fetishes of all the animals and all that.
Don't even get me started on Baldur's Gate. That shit's wild.
Yeah, I'm trying to look, because I didn't really care too much about the April Fool's jokes, because I kind of knew what was fake and what wasn't.
Yeah, me too.
It says here Razer was making like a Doc Ock chair. It was really weird. That never happened.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and then there's like they're making, it says for Mortality Channel is Among Us, Zombie Army VR brand of energy drink is what you need. Flesh is described as the feast in a bottle.
Wow.
It says crammed full of all 666 vital nutrients. It's supposed to be like a bloody drink or whatever.
Oh my god. Also,
it's like the Nikes that I don't know if you've ever seen those Nikes with the blood inserted into the sole of the Nike.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff in here. I'm trying to find out like what
speaking
else
of the VR, I'm seeing this April Fool's of a Nintendo VR set that's like a tribute to the virtual boy. But
I did see that one.
Yeah, that's pretty clever.
That was
they literally have like a switch on like the VR set, and you it's like
they kind of did that. They kind of did that with the Labo thing, and that failed terribly. You're like literally just build the box and then just put the Switch on your face, and then you can play like Zelda VR. It's the stupidest
thing. Oh, what the hell? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's not good at all. They tried their best to do VR. Well, Virtual Boy failed, and now Labo failed.
Should I give you epilepsy?
Seriously. Damn. So
I'm seeing Pokemon is holding an epic Pokemon sleep tournament, but that was a prank. Pokemon posted that on Twitter.
Titanfall was 2014. Titanfall was supposed to get like a Optimus Prime DLC. That never happened.
Bro, imagine though.
Yeah, I know. And then they had like the iPlay in 2013. It was supposed to be like an Apple console type thing. That was fake.
Wow. Oh, look at this.
Just out here playing people's emotions.
There is one thing that was fake that it was fake, but ended up coming true. Was in 2011, they were like doing it as a prank for a Harry Potter show. But now today, we're getting a Harry Potter show on HBO Max, which is crazy.
We are?
Yeah, we are. You didn't know that? Damn.
No, I was completely out of the loop on that.
What? He said that really went right over the head.
What? You didn't know Harry Potter was having a show? It's based off the books. Like, it's literally going to be coming from the books. Like, every detail that the movies miss is going to be in the show.
That's awesome, actually.
Yeah, so all the good shit we're going to see in that.
No, that sounds exciting. No, I'm real excited for that.
Yeah, me too. In 2008, the Zelda movie, that was fake. You know,
even Cyberpunk, they put out a prank too on April Fool's. Cyberpunk's Twitter, it says they put out a Cyberpunk floppy edition, like the floppy disk.
Yeah.
But,
it's obviously fake. Now me personally, edition. I can't really say what would be the best because I'm not really big on April Fool's. Like, I really don't care. For any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And you can kind of already tell what's fake with stuff like this because it just doesn't make sense. But what would you guys consider the best that you've read so far?
I'd say, let me see. I'm seeing this Sega one too where they're trying to bring back, they supposedly brought back the Sega console, but it's fake. It's kind of like, they was kind of promoting it. Like, remember how PlayStation made like the mini PlayStation 1?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a tribute to that, but it's fake. I think that's clever. And it's like trying to bring back Sonic with the cartridges and everything.
Oh, God. Please don't bring back cartridges.
Yeah. Like,
I see one from 2020 about Xbox. They were making a Xbox Series XXL.
Oh my god!
That was one of the April Fool jokes.
Yeah, that was the April Fool jokes. Like it's huge, like it's massive. I think that would be the best one so far that I've seen. Because it's making fun of itself because the console got bigger at some point.
Yeah, I think that might just take the cake. That one's actually kind of funny.
Oh my god!
The Razor chair is pretty good too.
Yeah, it's like Doc Ock one.
Yeah, it says AI arms ready to do the binding.
Yeah, and then they got the, like I said earlier, the Optimus Prime for Titanfall. Now, I would believe that most people would believe that because it could look like a DLC. Like, you're playing as Giant Optimus Prime and his chest opens and you come out of him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
That would be more
That kind of sounds dope, though.
But then it would make people sad after they'd be like, April Fool's, just kidding, we're not really making this.
Yeah, that
would be like, you motherfucker.
You really wanted it.
Oh, man. Guys, if you know of any April Fool's jokes as far as like when it comes to gaming, just let us know.
Subscribe and comment
in the comments and we'll read it, go over them, talk about it probably in the next episode. You never know.
Yeah, even hit us up on Twitter too. Like,
we're literally everywhere. Literally everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah, so let's move on. Let's talk about Xbox, like we said earlier. Let's talk about the best generation of Xbox. What do you guys think that would have been?
I mean, in my opinion, I definitely would say, like, it has to be, like, I don't know, like, it's a combination between the Xbox 360 and then the first Xbox. Like,
nah, fuck that, man. I'll say the 360.
The 360 was fire.
360 not only had better graphics, but it kept you on your toes because it made you so emotional because the red ring of death.
Oh my god.
I was so afraid to get the red ring of death, and I probably went through like three Xbox 360s because two of them got the ring of death.
I would have to say, like, yeah, definitely in 360s, just because, like, the games itself, like, it like, come on, like, again, like, the games at that time were just, like, moving, right? Like, we had Halo 3.
Halo 3 Forge. Oh my
god. Halo 3 Forge, like, yo,
oh, that was time right there.
Right. You know, that was like Go ahead.
No, you was already talking. Go ahead.
So that's why I was just trying to get at, like, you know, the games itself was definitely just moving. It just had so much. It had a big catalog of games. You know, it was exciting to even have an Xbox in general at that time, because before, like, you know, Xbox always kind of like had like games that were kind of like realistic as consumers. But when the 360 kind of rolled around, it was like we still had the PS2 and 3, and then it was kind of like debatable who really wanted which console. But I think everybody was leaning towards Xbox at that time because they had more better stuff, better games to play on that console. I wouldn't even say essentially like the graphics or anything. I think they were both kind of like the same PS3 and Xbox 360, right? They were both the same thing.
Right. Was it the PS3 or was it the PS2?
I think it was the PS3. I think it was the PS3. Yeah, because I think the PS2 went up against the first Xbox, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Yeah.
So I definitely do think around that time, a lot of people were just like going towards the Xbox like field because, you know, correct. Like, I mean, we still had that on, you know, PlayStation 2 and 3.
PlayStation 3 was kind of strict on it, though. You only could place a certain.
You had to get the first models that came out back in 2007.
Xbox, you could just do any Xbox game.
Right.
And the Xbox, you had the hard drive that came out.
Which was a lot more accessible. Like, you can access it a lot better than you know, having to. I think for the PS3, you had this like little compartment that you had to unscrew, then take it out, and then it was a lot more complicated than just popping open the hard drive.
Yeah, it was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, even when you modded the Xbox, right? Like, because I've had one that they actually had to cut the hole on the side, and they actually had like a whole bunch of like lights and shit in there. So having a modded version of an Xbox was even dope back then. It's just like there was just a lot more that goes into that. So I personally just think like it was definitely king at that time as far as the, you know, the consoles. 360 definitely hands down has to be the greatest like category, you know.
Out of all the Xbox stuff, yeah. 360.
And I think the 360 actually beat the PlayStation for the first time when that came out.
Yeah, like, I think it beat the
Probably did.
Yeah, like you still had to pay for, I think you still had to pay for Xbox Live, right? Like, I think that's when
you did.
That's when they first started to roll the subscription stuff out. Unfortunately, only on Xbox though, because PlayStation 3 was, you know, still free, of course.
Oh shit! I forgot PlayStation 3 was free.
At that time. Was free. It was free online. But that was one thing they was like, you know what? Play, when they brought PS4 around, they had to switch it up.
Xbox was making money,
More money off that.
And they were like, all right. Then we gotta do online.
We gotta do it exactly. So, you know, at that time again, like, I think they were top dog just because like their games though, because that was their prime time. Like, that was, they were in their prime at that time. Halo 3, all these Gears of War, just the design of the Xbox was just a cool looking, you know, cool looking thing, man. It was cool to have one. The tray, you know, the kind of like chrome kind of tray that pops out. The controller was definitely, it was, to me, I think it was cool because it even had like the little, like the little middle button of the X, but you could feel the X. Like, it was just the material of the X. The 360 was pretty cool.
It just had with the controllers, like if you
had the
player one, it'll be on one side. If you're player two,
right
over here,
yeah,
stuff like that.
And it just like their chat system was better. I'm not trying to say like compare it to like PlayStation, because we were just talking about like the best kind of like
best Xbox console ever. PS2.
Yes, correct.
Sorry.
It is. No, I agree with you. No, I'm
not just you, the audience. But I'm sure somebody's gonna say something.
They're gonna be like, nah, I don't believe that.
I'm telling you, man, PS2. That was life right there.
But you know, the Xbox definitely was. You know, definitely the 360 was probably the best, in my opinion.
And then comes the first Xbox, because that shit, bro.
It was game changer.
It was game changer, bro. The first Xbox, I'm just like, first Halo. I wanted to come home after school and go play the shit. Fuck, PlayStation was like right there. It was like over there.
Yeah.
And then I was playing Halo for a little bit, and then I'll jump to PlayStation, and then I'll jump back to Xbox. And about jump back, I was like back and forth with those two. And then I got the 360, and then the 3 came out, and I was playing the 360 more, and probably because Halo 3. And I would play online with Halo 3 Forge, and we were just killing it on there. That's where I spent my most time.
It was amazing to have an Xbox back then, man. It was, you know, when they presented it, you know, obviously back in 2001, it was just something that was like, whoa, like, you know what I mean? Actually another competitor to the gaming industry, you know what I mean? Like, everybody just thought kind of PlayStation was king because there was no other actual, you know, company that was making, I mean, besides Nintendo. Nintendo was around there, of course. But it's like they've been around so long in the 80s, you know what I mean? Like, if we're talking about the next generation of consoles and gaming, that, you know, nobody was touching PlayStation at the time. And then 2001 rolled around, we got an insight on Microsoft when they made this, you know, when they made this console. But when they brought the 360 around back in 2007, man, it was game changing, for real.
Yeah. Plus, it's like the first United States based console. So, because, you know, Nintendo and PlayStation's from Japan, so that was like a good look for that economy over here.
It's like the Chevy or the American made right. stuff over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Xbox One rolled in 2013. That was next gen right there.
Right.
How do you guys feel about that? Xbox One. I didn't have an Xbox One until the Xbox One S came through in 2016. And then that's when I got the Xbox One, because I got the One S.
Mm.
And then I never got the Xbox One X. I never did. I never was able.
So I got that one. It was nice because we, you know, obviously with every single console we've always get, you know, after 7+ years, we always get an increase on the graphics. And, you know, it's a new operating system because we, you know, everything looks kind of newish. You know, they introduced the the multitasking kind of slide, which was pretty decent when it came out with the Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool, man. I was able to watch Netflix while I was gaming. I mean, yeah, it was running slow, but it was like we couldn't do that before. Like, we were just figuring out like how to multitask on consoles.
Well, Rage Quitters loved it because they would quit the game and go home right off the side. They
right.
the thing and be like, real quick, done, already back.
Yeah, it was like, I forgot what it was called specifically, but you like tapped one, like I think it was like you double tap the middle button or one of the buttons, and it kind of just switches between the windows, which was pretty good. So it was like turning into like a mini PC at that point. Like, the Xbox 360 was kind of just like an online, like kind of just a strict bare bone console. Like, it was just like play it.
Yeah, I think for the Xbox One, they were trying to turn it into like
a mini PC. Yeah,
like a do-it-all type thing, because it had like cable service and stuff that you could use with it and stuff.
Correct. Yeah,
you got like all this live services, and that's when fucking Netflix and shit was starting to be on there, and then streaming, you could do all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I had the PS4 at that time.
And the games at that time were, you know, Sunset Overdrive. These were like launch titles that came out with it, you know, like it was fun. Like, what was it? Killer Instinct. You know, a lot of these games were like the graphics were fucking phenomenal. Like, I mean, PS4 was great around that time too. But like Aaron always says, if he was here, you know, he would say like it was pretty weak when it first came out. But the graphics wasn't weak. It was just kind of struggling to play some of the games at the time when it first launched. And I remember that.
I remember after a while, my PlayStation was starting to float in the air a little bit.
So yeah, it would overheat. It would overheat. It would slow down the frame sometimes. It wasn't the game. It was actually just the, you know, the console itself sometimes. Yeah.
And poor optimization.
Yeah, so it's like the controller was cool. I mean, that was something like
that was something new and exciting.
Yeah, the DualShock 4, that was pretty cool. But the Xbox One, like Danny could vouch for that. That was the greatest one of the, like, when they introduced that controller, it's still people still use that for gaming on PCs all the time. Xbox One controllers, you know, even the 360 controllers. Like,
I did when I had my PC. I used the Xbox One controller,
and it was still good, right? Like,
that's the like mm-hmm. best controller ever.
So yeah. You know, like,
because it benefit to be with, you know, cross with the PC because it's Microsoft, of course. So yeah. It's easy to adapt with the controller to that.
What else? Like Rise of Rome. That's another one.
Yeah, that was a launch title too,
I think. Yeah, that was a launch title. You know what I mean? So, I had a good time when I got it. You know what I mean? It was definitely an event, an experience. And then obviously after that, I almost got every single Xbox besides the first one. The first one you guys had, and I used to play it over at your house. But I got every other one: 360, One X, and you know, and then the Series X is the one I got. So. In my opinion, I still think the 360 was probably the best.
For the time,
and that's because like the longevity of it, obviously, in my opinion, because I've had it for a long time. Like, you know what I mean? It was from 2007 to about when did the other one came out? The next one, One X, came out 2013, if I'm not mistaken.
Or yeah, the one Xbox One came out in 13. One X came out in 17.
Yeah,
so One X came out around the time the Switch came out.
So it was a long time from 2007 to 2013. We had the 364. So I'm gonna still say, like, yeah, that was probably one of the greatest moments of Xbox history, really.
Sure. Even a website rating from Gamer Insider, it's saying the 360 is like a lot of people's most, you know, favorite. A generation of console they came out with.
I
mean,
and then I could see why there's a lot of collecting about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think I think that one takes.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, in my opinion.
I can't really say much because I play PlayStation most of my life and I never had an Xbox. I did play when my friends had it periodically, but I never owned any Xbox consoles, but I could see the impact it had at the time, especially when the console started.
Bro, I'm like the poorest of the poor. Not literal, I'm just saying. Like, I'm so poor that I tried everything in my power to get everything. How it was and everything. Like, I had a Sega Genesis. I had a Dreamcast. I had a... what's the fucking handheld one? There's a Sega handheld that I had. I forgot what it was called.
The Playboy? I mean, the... No, hold on.
No, there. I forgot
the Game Boy.
No.
Not the Game Boy. I did have a game. I had all
games. The Game Gear.
That's what it was.
There it is.
Okay. I had a Game Gear.
I was
close. You know what? I actually remember holding that when you had it.
I had it.
Yeah.
And it got put to storage somewhere after one of us moved, and I've never seen it again.
Never seen it again.
Like, I literally never seen it again. I was having so much fun with that GameCube. That was like
my fucking... They sold that.
That was my handheld. I was having so much fun, and it disappeared. Like, I kind of had almost every system or every version of the system. You know?
Right.
Like, I at least have like Xbox growing up. I at least had a PlayStation growing up. I had Nintendo products growing up. I had a Super Nintendo. Had a regular Nintendo. I had all of them. Never had an Atari. I'm not that old. But
I was about to say that's pushing more like the 70s kids.
Yeah. So like from like NES up, I had.
Yeah.
Pretty much. At least had at some point.
I would say the prime of gaming at that time. I mean, we got to be on it.
Started going up.
Yeah. Atari was more like an introduction, and this is kind of what we're going towards. I mean, besides obviously like classic machines that you have to go to, like arcade machines and shit.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I did go to arcade, but it was like wasn't like the 70s. Like, it wasn't that far back.
Like what we see in movies. Yeah,
I kind of like it, you know how the Tron movie, the newer one, how. Walks into the arcade room and then he finds something in the back.
Right.
That kind of arcade thing I've been to. Not like a fucking David Buster's.
Yeah, I used to play an arcade in the laundromat. That's like probably one of my first interactions with a game, playing Rage Monsters or whatever.
So I kind of want to say that if you guys have any comments on what Xbox you think, if you think we're wrong, tell us we're wrong, and tell us how you feel. You know what I mean? Because
Aaron just got in too. Aaron just got in, so we might as well ask him real quick.
But, So Aaron, what do you think is the best generation of Xbox? See if you're on par with us.
So that's a little hard, honestly. So I'm gonna say, so logic dictates 360. Just, you know, logic dictates that 360 would be the best generation of Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, as far as, since I'm a classic gamer, as far as game preservation goes, as bad as Xbox One was out the gate, we all know the whole always online connect bullshit. Mm-hmm. They did do a lot for game preservation a little bit down the line on that, with backwards compatibility and all that stuff, and updating the Xbox Ones to like make sure it plays older discs from 360 and Xbox Xbox OG. Mm-hmm. I hate Xbox naming convention. So I mean, logically, it would be 360 because, you know, they were getting exclusives. Like, even I don't think any of y'all noticed, but Mass Effect 1 was exclusive to the Xbox 360. Like, I think for like the first year or 2 years, something like that. That's a big exclusive to get. Xbox was on their shit.
You and the audience is gonna hate me for this, and I'm gonna have to just take the hate. I'm sorry, guys, but I didn't really like Mass Effect.
That's crazy. What?
Yeah.
Not big on Mass Effect.
Not big on. Was it because you're fucking aliens? Is that what it is? Okay, if that's the case, I understand.
I mean, it could be a part of it, but I just never really got into it. I just never got really into it.
Understandable. All right, but I mean, logically, it'd be the 360. But I feel like Xbox One did a lot for game preservation as a whole, just in general.
Mm.
And I can't take that away from them because, like, what's his name? I forgot his name. Phil Spencer. He did a lot to revitalize the brand of Xbox in the beginning of the Xbox One. I don't know if y'all remember, Xbox One was terrible at launch. It was, it really was. Mm-hmm. Like, they all these weird rules and regulations they had going on, DRM and all that stuff. So he did quite a lot to revitalize that brand. And while I know the whole thing is that on Twitter, infinite money, 10 years and still no good games, how does he do it and all that stuff, he actually did quite a lot to revitalize the brand in the eyes of gamers and like casuals in general. So like, I'm going to say 360 would be the best generation of Xbox, really. But like, I can't knock Xbox One. Honestly, I can't say Series X would be the best generation of Xbox because, you know, everything is third party and everyone's talking shit about them and all a whole bunch of other stuff. But 360 probably would be the best generation of Xbox to me, in my opinion. I mean, that's when they was actually going after Japanese games. They were actually trying to secure exclusives. I think they were selling Xbox 360 at a profit, which is unheard of for consoles. I mean, unless you're Nintendo, your console's weak as hell, and you can sell it at a profit. But they know at the time that they were selling that in 2005 and 2006, they were selling the Xbox 360 at a profit. That's hard to do. So, I mean, it'd be 360 probably be the better one on that one. I just can't knock the Xbox One generation. You know, shitty at first, but you know.
Well, we're not saying that it's not good. We're just saying, like, what would be,
What was y'all opinions?
Agreed on the 360.
Yeah, we all agreed on the 360.
Because it was like, for that time, was like a big fucking game changer. Dude.
It did, and you know it was good,
bro. But tell me you wasn't worried about the Ring of Death.
That shit
make me sweat bullets. I was like, get
a 360 to like 2010.
Bro.
So by that time, probably was already.
I don't care how when you got a 360. If you had a fucking 360, you was at some point gonna get that ring.
Yeah, you probably was.
Two Xboxes that I had got the ring, and I had to get new ones.
That's fucking ridiculous.
The last 360 that I got was the Halo edition, that bluish one.
All right, but yeah, I guess for me, it'd be 360. I won't lie on that one. Definitely 360.
Again, guys, if you, please comment and subscribe. We talk about stuff like this all the time. Comment, let us know. We want to know what your top is for sure. Right. So let's move on to hearing about Jack Ryan finally reveals that PS2 actually sold 160 million. So that was true.
Well, the whole thing with that is you got Nintendo fanboys online saying, oh, he pulled a magical number out of his ass. He got that. My thing is, how the interview went is that he was talking about the 2000s. The 2000s, the PS2 era. And he said, I feel like he said, oh, the PS2 sold 160 million units. That's how much it actually sold. And everyone, mainly Nintendo dudes, started losing their mind. Like, of course, when the Switch is closed, now they want to update the numbers and all that stuff. But I feel like, from a corporate perspective, wouldn't he know the actual numbers more than anybody else, technically? Like, why would he need to fabricate that?
Why is it magical?
That's what I'm saying. Why is it magical?
If anybody has the information, it's him.
That's what I'm saying. Why if anybody has the information, it's him. So I'm like, what?
I was just confused on why was he just focusing up on just like how much did the PS2 sell?
I mean, because he was asked by his tenure during the 2000s, which is the PS2 era. You know, he was asked about that. And so I guess to massage his own ego and all that stuff, he's like, yeah, we actually sold 160 million. You know what I mean? And so it was his last day at Sony. So what you going to do at your last day? You're going to showcase the greatness that you did, the stuff you achieved at Sony. You know,
I have a question. Since it's PS2, right?
Yeah.
Did they just count the PS2 or did they count the PS2 Slim?
They counted all of that. All of this.
So anything that has PS2 on it.
On it. It most likely counted. Gotcha. I guess, like,
because I'm not gonna lie, I had both those motherfuckers.
That's what I'm saying. The PS2 and the regular one. The last PS2 game was like released in either 2013 or 2014, which is wild to me. But because we was well into the PS4 era in that time. But I just
it's counted from 2012. That's the last margin of where he cut it from.
Guess where he cut it from. So I mean, like, it's not unheard of that they could have squeezed out 5 million more consoles. I'm just was confused about why Nintendo fanboys are so crazy and mad about that.
They have nothing else to be.
No, I mean it's console tribalism essentially, and I know those words sound so stupid next to each other. Console tribalism. What the hell are you talking about? But people like to defend their piece of plastic. That's just what they do. They do. I'm sure Andrew got a kick out of that because he's a PC gamer. So he probably like, yeah, y'all got the losers by what he makes. But,
he's like, I'm good over here on my 20.
Yeah, that's a loser. But
I'm chilling.
But people are saying he's lying, and I just don't get where that's coming from. You know, where's like, why would he lie about such a thing? Like, it's his last day. It doesn't like.
Like, do you
motherfuckers
want to see the receipts?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he would know, right? And then not only that, it's not like he had to prove anything. Like, the PS5, per his own words, is doing good. Sony, maybe not as a company, is not doing good, but the PlayStation division in itself is doing good. So I'm like, why would he need to lie about that? And so,
this creation of the PS5, I was, like, skeptical at first. I was like, this big-ass fucking contraption. Like, I don't need that shit. I obviously waited, but I do love this thing. This thing is great. It's fast. It turns on when you want it to. It works.
Turns on when you want it to.
Yeah, like
it better did. No, I paid $500 for the damn thing.
It's not floating in the air. The fans aren't going off. You know, it's not smoking or anything. And I'm like thankful that I didn't get a messed up one.
I mean, so, do you think the PS5 will see PS2 levels of success?
Yeah. Say that again.
Is that you think the PS5 will see PS2 levels of success?
I don't know about that.
I just think it's such a hard pedestal to kind of like stand up on, especially like it's just like I don't like not even the PS3 or 4 was managing close numbers like that. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like
PS3 topped out at like 90 million, nothing, and then PS4 topped out at like 120.
So where are we now?
Baby numbers, yeah, exactly. Wait, I'm saying.
So where are we now for the PS5?
PS5 is 55 to 60 million.
See, that's not high at all.
It's high. It's just not is not
when
like...
When I say not high at all, I mean like compared to the PS2.
Right. No, hell no. Hell no.
That's what I'm saying, because that was the whole thing we were talking about. Now, they still have the PS5 Pro that's going to come out soon. And then, you know, I don't think it's going to make it. Even with the scalpers that like took it off the market for the longest time, the product is so expensive that they can't keep up with, you know, how many people want it. And when people already got it, they're not going to want to buy like 3 or 4 of them. You know what I'm saying? So they already pretty much capped out. Like,
no. Like,
how far do you think they're going to go? How long has the PS5 already been out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. How long has it been out?
2020. So it's about only been 4 years.
Almost 5 years.
Oh, no, no. Well, November 20th will be the fourth year. So three years and some change.
All right. I think they can make at least, I think 100 million is easy for them to do.
Yeah.
I can see it surpassing the PS3.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I can see them doing that. But it's just like...
Yeah.
So my other question is, how long did it take the PS2 to get to 100?
I don't know. That's the thing. And that's why I brought that up, because that's why they probably think he's lying or something, because like, what is that? The normal people heard 159
million.
Wouldn't
that mean that every household had to buy like a few PS2s?
Yeah, you had to have like 4 in the house.
Exactly. Not only that, but like, now remember, PS2 also sold off of the fact that it was the cheapest DVD player to get at the time. And exactly, not only that, when you bought it, you're like, you just happened to have a game console at the same time. It's like, okay, all right.
What made it different now is that the PS5 is more expensive.
Yeah.
And it was hard to get at first.
Yeah.
And now your TVs do all the streaming, so you don't need DVDs.
Right, exactly.
So the only real reason to get a PS5 is for its natural thing, which is playing games.
Really? No, that's true. That's true.
And most like big gamers, like huge gamers, are on a PC. Think about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. Consoles are more of a casual thing now. Yeah. I will say that. More of a casual thing now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't see them, like you said, I don't see them touching those numbers. I see like 100 million at the most. But how long it took for the PS2 to get to that number?
Is a good question.
It's only been 3 years, and we're already at what you said?
55
to 60.
So let's say 60 is rounded off to 60. And like, how many more people can really buy the PS5 already that high?
Bro, we're still like, we're already 5 years, almost like you said, like four, already damn near already end the generation for PS5.
Because yeah, they're already talking about 2026, the PS6 is going to you're telling me Sony has a year to get close to that number?
It's not happening.
Bro, it's good to remember that at the time when the PS2 was released, its only competition was the Dreamcast. And Sony had built a pretty...
It was a different time. Yeah,
it was a different time. And Sony built a pretty big brand with the PS1. The PS1 was humongous. So when people saw the PS2 was coming out, and the games they saw before was Silent Hill 2, which was big as shit back in the day. Metal Gear Solid 2. I forgot what it's called. Sons of Liberty. Yeah, Sons of Liberty. They saw that coming out. You know what I mean? Exactly. A trailer for Final Fantasy X.
I actually got it again on my Steam Deck.
I just got it again. It's all Final Fantasy X and all that stuff. Those were driving sales already. And when once they saw that it was the cheapest DVD player, because believe it or not, for boys and girls who are listening to this who were born in the 2010s and all that stuff, DVD players were really expensive back in the early 2000s.
Okay, it was. Some shit was like $30, man.
So like, you know, DVD players were really expensive in the early 2000s.
And there was a difference between regular DVDs and Blu-ray.
There was, yeah, exactly.
There was.
And so once they saw that it was cheap to get, it's a DVD player. They bought it because, like, you know, it's a DVD player.
And right. It does more than just DVDs.
But then you see that, wait a minute, I could play Breath of Thought or San Andreas on this joint. So, like, you know.
And then when I'm done, I could just pop a movie in.
Exactly. It was Sony's first step, real, in my opinion, real first steps into being a multimedia player with his consoles and shit like that.
Yeah,
and
then you look on the Xbox. Once Xbox 360 came out, that's when they started to do like the streaming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then when you look on the back of the console, you're like, holy shit, you can connect the internet cord?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
You had to get that attachment.
You had to get the attachment, but the PS2 Slim came with a modem inside of it. The PS2
Slim already came with it. But yeah, the regular PS2, you had to get that big ass fucking box that you attached to.
Yeah.
I remember that. I had one of them bitches.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't see PS5 catching up to that number.
No.
The Switch's numbers are only so high. One, because of COVID. COVID helped that. We was all stuck in the house. And two, a lot of kids and a lot of people are buying second Switches. How many Switches have you bought, Dan? Let's be honest.
I bought two already.
Yeah, you bought two.
So I had my original Switch. I resold that and bought the OLED Switch. I bought my son a Switch. I bought Emma a Switch.
Next is your daughter, right?
And next is Sienna. And then I was originally going to buy for my brother's birthday, for Robert's birthday. I was going to buy him a Switch.
You're contributing to it. Like, that's like, if we're counting you guys as a family,
Nintendo is the greatest.
Five Switches per family.
But it's because they're so easier to, they're so easy.
They are. They're easy to get.
Yes. It's not like I'm buying like 12 PS5s. I would never be able to afford that shit.
Exactly.
I can't do that shit, but you go on a marketplace and you get the Switch for like $100.
Exactly.
That's true. Exactly. That's really.
So but like, that, it's that affordable. Right, the marketplace isn't contributing to Nintendo, but right. you're still getting Switch, and that person before the marketplace had that Switch from Nintendo.
Right.
So they already paid their price.
Exactly. You know, so like, honestly,
I think like the Switch benefits by having also the Japanese audience, where the PlayStation, they lost the place Japanese audience around the PS3 era, and I think that's why the PS2 does so well, because that's like when it was in its prime, as far as like they're having that hold on that audience.
Had the hold, and if you want to be honest, they technically kind of still do in a sense, because like not all third parties are bringing their games to the Switch because you can't handle it, obviously. But back in the PS2 days, they had the Japanese like audience by the balls, man. I'm talking about Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, Shin Megami Tensei, Persona. Like it had like a lot of Japanese games that people will love and will eat up and everything. They had the Sonic games, and like they had like a lot of Japanese games that Japanese audience really liked and everything. So that probably contributed to it as well. I mean, nowadays Sony goes all in on Western audiences now. You know, now a lot of the games are very Western inspired, God of War, all that stuff.
Yeah, like Last of Us.
Back in the day. Yeah, exactly. Like back in the day, they were really gung ho about the Japanese audience and everything like that. And Final Fantasy helped out a lot too, because Final Fantasy was pretty big now. But at its peak, Final Fantasy was selling consoles when it came to Sony. At its peak.
So, damn, a game? Damn, that's crazy.
No, it was, though. Like, I mean, I know Danny, though. I know he was there when Final Fantasy X came out, and everybody was going crazy. I know him, because everybody
I probably beat that game like 5 times.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, everybody was going crazy when that came out. What? Like, come on, now.
It was the greatest thing.
It's like that
I just said, Walker, stop. Stop it. And what was the other girl's name? The caster? She was like Lulu or some shit like that.
Lulu or something. Lulu or something.
Yep.
And then there was Yuna. Yuna's
the one with the staff.
Yeah. So but like, you know,
Lulu had the little bear and shit.
Yep. Yeah, I hate her. She's worthless. But she wasn't
that
around.
Bad.
I'm playing around. But nowadays people aren't like, especially nowadays, no one's buying two consoles nowadays. They're three consoles. They're probably buying a PS5 and the comment that they probably buy a Switch. Or they probably got a PC and the
comment. There you go. Now I was about to say that's the greatest combo right there.
They got a PC, they're probably gonna buy a Switch. The compliment that
Steam Deck.
Exactly. PS5. So like the markets are even more stretched out, I should say. Now they're more stressed out.
I don't know what Xbox is doing.
But, you know, the markets are even more stressed out now.
I mean, there's an Xbox One in this household, but it's just collecting dust.
I got one sitting right here next to me too.
What are you using that for?
He's using it to hold up the other side of the chair.
It's more like it belongs in a museum. Like it's like in a museum. It's good to look at, but you can't play it. Like,
dude, it's not exactly a bad console. There's no real games for it.
Exactly. So I mean, as generations go on, wherever future gaming takes, where it's all streaming or whatever. We'll see a lot less of those repeated numbers. Again, Switch is, I want to say the Switch is truly an outlier, but like most people buy, like one person probably buys three Switches a lot of times. They want that OLED, they want that mini, and they want that fucking regular Switch. You know what I mean? That's how it is.
It's,
and that's
the same so convenient
too. Exactly. And the same thing happened with the DS. And the DS, like, when you went to a Walmart, you was buying a DS out of nowhere. It was that damn cheap.
I was just talking about that. I had every single DS that ever came out.
Exactly. So that, like, there was that. No, I mean, there was that. So, I mean, PS2, goated console. Probably won't see the numbers again, though.
What were you saying, Don?
Another thing that comes into play, the economy, too. Around, like, the early 20s, like, the economy was way better than it was before 2007 when the economy crashed. So that plays a big part, too. Of like the sales and everything, especially now, like it's even worse now. Like that, we're going through another crisis of the economy, so that probably has an effect on the PS5 sales as well.
So fucking expensive, and then taxes on every.
Dude, I hate it.
Yeah, food, let alone with the taxes, it's crazy.
Dude, we just went food shopping like a couple of days ago and spent almost $300.
Oh, that was kind of normal for me.
Dude, like no, but it's, well, then again,
I got two kids.
Yeah. Our kid isn't here yet, and we spent that much. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Oh, good luck. Right. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I know.
So, all right. So let's move on from that. Again, guys, comment, like, and subscribe, and let us know. Please let us know. We want to hear your feedback. Let's talk about Nick and Aaron's thoughts on Comic Mix, top Comic X Zone.
All right. So... So I didn't get too far because I'm gonna tell you right now, the hardest thing was probably setting up the controls. It really was, because I was doing emulator obviously on as like Fusion emulator or whatever the case is, and just kind of setting up the controller. So I didn't get too far. I don't think that you could save this fucking game, because I did die a few times and it takes you right back to the very beginning of the game. It is very, what I like about it is just like, first off, it's like a comic book, and it's, you know, the storytelling in it is pretty decent. Like each time you go through each tile in a comic book, it's kind of like moving with the story. Like, you know, if he's fighting an enemy, the artist is going to draw like another enemy for you to kind of fight, which is pretty decent.
And now that you're fighting the enemy and you pants to punch him was real hard, the artists are like, bam. It's like an actual comic book. It's like an actual comic. I like that.
Like, I never played a game like that before. Like, I really like that feature.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, go
ahead. I'm just outing myself. This is going to be so dumb. I literally thought, I'd never seen this game before in my life, and I thought you guys were talking about a convention thing.
Wow.
That's what I said. That's why I said Comic X Zone. I was like, what the fuck is this? So for the audience, Comics Zone. It's comics with an X. It's a Sega Genesis game.
Yeah. It's a retro Wii. Yeah, it's one of the retro Wii ones.
This is a retro rewind. I'm a dumbass.
No, hold on, real quick, because it's not just you. I thought the exact same thing you did.
I was so lost.
I would have started with Retro Rewind, bro. I'm a dumbass. Let's leave it at that. Continue talking.
I could have said, like, yeah, this is what we're doing now. And I would have been like, all right, cool, now I'm following. But I thought it was going to, like, a comic convention.
It was just me being me.
That's hilarious.
I'm retarded sometimes. So.
Yeah, one job.
But
That is a cool concept, though. That the whole
exactly. It is very cool. I like the combat. Obviously, it's kind of like a button smash type thing. Because if you play like Streets of Rage, it kind of gives like kind of the same feel where you get the uppercut. I like his kicks. He gets to check his like kind of like his pocket or something for like his inventory, which is pretty cool. I like when he goes over to each tile, he literally swings across each tile, which is pretty decent. Crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when I was confused too, when they were like, because you got to read the description. It says, oh, well, you got to go through a hidden path. I'm like, where's the hidden path? And it's a manhole cover that you got to like literally duck and then kind of kick it to open, like to get open the man cover. And then you got to actually like go down the manhole cover.
I'm seeing right now, it looks pretty dope.
It is. I got to get farther in it because I'm almost done Eternal Darkness, and once I do that, I'm definitely gonna finish this one next.
Well, the good thing is, I think last time I beat it, I was playing it recently. But last time I beat it was I had on Sonic Mega Collection for the GameCube. That's the last time I beat it. I think it's only like 4 or 5 levels, something like that. The last level was ridiculously difficult.
It gets hard.
And spoilers alert from out here. Spoilers. So stop here if you don't want to hear anything. But there is 2 endings to the game. So you know, by a little bit of replay value there. There's 2 endings. I won't tell you how to get the good ending, but it's pretty apparent at the last boss how to get the good ending. You just gotta be pretty fast with it.
And it definitely looks like it does have like replay value too, because like there's just paths. Yeah, there's different paths, right? And I noticed that too. Like when you go down to each tile, I'm like, oh shit, I can't go back up there or like backtrack. Like you select this because it gives you an option whether you want to go up or down or side to side. Like whichever way you choose, that's the path you're gonna keep going down.
Exactly.
You know, so that's why I knew like it was gonna be like, all right, this is definitely gonna be like if you beat it once, you're gonna play it again and see like you're gonna get a different result at the end.
Exactly. And like I just like the way that for the time just to see this type of graphical style was just such a turn on.
It looks really dope. Like I never seen like because we've always seen like kind of like you know space arcades streets because you got Streets of Rage like during that time we were just all over the place but. I've never seen a game within a comic book like that. Like that's
exactly
that's creative. Like that's what I'm saying. Like it's creative, man. And then each time that you know you're going into the platforms, the illustrator, he draws things in your path and shit. Like
the thing is, the illustrator guy who's drawing is the fucking main villain. He's the one drawing this shit.
Oh my god!
He's weighing everything. I forgot how the story goes. It was crazy. I was playing it yesterday. But I think the story goes that one of his creations comes out the comic book that like to kill him or something. I don't know why he's doing that, but he drags him in there, and now he's like trying to kill him through the comic. Like now, like he's like, oh, now I'm gonna draw things to kill you in the comic and everything.
Like I thought it took some inspiration from like Vita. Well, not obviously this would have Vita Vajo would have took inspiration from this. But
exactly.
Because I thought it was like a film at first when I first got in there. I was like, is this like a movie or something
right,
like that?
Right,
like,
exactly.
But it, like as I went through the, like it was going through the comic, I was like, oh shit, it's like a comic book. So that's pretty dope. Like. And I like how, like, sometimes when you're just standing there, he kind of just, like, he takes off his shoe, he smells it and shit, like, you know what I mean? Like, he interacts, like, he actually, you know, he's an actual character, like, sometimes you just kind of play these games and you just kind of, like, go up and down and just don't really do anything.
But, like, this was during an era where, like, Sega was really determined to beat Nintendo at their own game, so they were really throwing They were throwing the heavy hitters at their console and everything. I think this was developed by Sega, but by a branch off of Sega, I think called the Sega Institute or something like that. And so they made like a whole development studio with the intention of just making hard hitting games that just will challenge Nintendo and just throw the heaviest hitters at the Super Nintendo and everything. And it helped too, because like. This is curated. Like I'd say honestly, I know people want to say Sega for like, oh, Sega's created for Sonic or stuff like that. No, they're created for making Sonic the Hedgehog franchise and all that other stuff. But I feel as though it's their franchises outside of Sonic, such as this, with the they should get the most praise for. When I see Sega, I see games like Comic Zone, Rise Star, Jet Set Radio. I see things like that. You know what I mean? Even like Skies of Arcadia. Sonic is like that's what they're known for. But I see them for all the other stuff that like that made them a rival to Nintendo back in the day. And this is one of those games because it's so fucking curated. Like it's. I'm not even sure if Nintendo themselves can make a game like this.
That's what I'm saying. We got Paperboy. We got, you know, obviously a lot of their like classics like they had, but like it wasn't nothing like this. And when you play a lot of the Sega games that are on Sega Genesis, like they just look more creative. They're more fluent. You know, it just feels a lot more like I'm not saying like the games aren't as good, like as vibrant, I guess you would say, on Nintendo, but I'm saying like we had Streets of Rage, we had, you know, like we had some of the craziest Sega games on there that really goes deep into like creative shit, like characters, levels, you know, the difficulty. You know what I mean? Like that's what I mean. Like we didn't really get that too much on Nintendo.
And like, the thing is though, when you're fighting an uphill battle, man, this is like a time when Nintendo had almost a monopoly on the industry. When you're fighting an uphill battle like that, you gotta bring your A game. I feel like Sega. They were bringing their A game with that, which is like just this, like okay, I see what you guys are going with this.
So
like,
Sega,
you
know, definitely had a moment.
They had
a moment like where a time period where they had like a box of games and they just let them all out.
Yes, exactly. Another moment with the Dreamcast too, low key. Dreamcast, yeah, another moment.
Some of them moved over to Dreamcast. There was some fun Dreamcast game.
But, yeah, because it was owned by Sega, right? Dreamcast?
Huh? Yeah.
It was owned by Sega.
Sega Dreamcast. But that was basically their attempt at next generation. Because it was like 3D stuff mostly. I'm like watching the clip and stuff, and I like the animation of him jumping to the next scene and stuff like that.
That's what I'm saying. I like
how you can use the mouse to rip tear pages and like find items and stuff. That's pretty dope. And then you kill an enemy, and then the artist draws another enemy right back.
I don't understand why we didn't get like a remaster or something
remember when they said Sega at the Game Awards or something like that, they said they was remaking a bunch of games. I'm hoping this is maybe one of them. I hope.
Now I'm gonna say that I have never played this or heard of it, but I'm gonna say that this is an underrated game that should have got the praise that it deserves. Is it what I'm watching right now? It looks very fun, and I would have definitely played it in its time. I can't believe I didn't hear about this.
That's why I said I didn't know about it.
How did I miss this game?
I didn't know about it until Aaron brought it up. That's how I didn't know about it.
It was almost easy for me to miss because when I first played it, it was on Sega on the Sonic Mega Collection for the GameCube. But the thing is though, you had to like unlock it in some weird, stupid way. They had you unlock the game in some weird ways on the Sega on the Mega Collection. So I stayed up all night. Turning Sonic 1 on and off, turning Sonic 2 on and off. We're starting the GameCube, trying to find a way to unlock it, and I finally got it. And of course, at the time, it beat my ass because I was a kid. I know how to properly play it the right way. But I stayed up all night trying to beat the game, and I did beat it eventually.
That's fucking great, bro.
And I think to answer your question, Aaron, I think they did announce that Jet Set Radio and Crazy Taxi are coming back.
Okay.
So they're rebooting those.
I think those were the two that were confirmed.
Okay, all right.
It almost would have felt like Aaron, you would have been proud of me with Castlevania because now I'm on the wall, like the owl level. Yeah.
So you're in the woods?
Yeah, now I'm in the woods.
they start swooping on the... Okay.
Yeah, I tell you right now, going up on that second level, man, it was like, so you go all the way to the top, you get that guy that jumps on the walls, that's pretty good, you know, the shapeshifter, whatever the case.
Grant,
And you go, then you got to come all the way back down. Oh my God, man, that was the worst. And then, you know, the jellyfish, the fucking Medusa, it just keeps getting worse.
That's not even the hardest level now.
I know, man. Like, it just keeps getting worse. Like, but I was like, Aaron would have been proud of me, though. At least I finished. I've killed two bosses already, so you know what I mean?
Fight the guy with the coffins?
He didn't get that far.
No, I didn't get that far.
He's gonna hate that part, Danny. He's gonna hate that part.
Bro, is basic what it basically is like an entity that goes into a coffin, and in the coffin is a different enemy. I think it's like a skeleton guy first.
Or yeah, it's a skeleton guy, then the mummies, and then like the big ass ogre.
Dragon ogre thing that comes
back. And all on one health bar.
All on one health bar. It's crazy.
I would rather be Comic Zone than that.
I would rather put my feet into a vial of acid than do that.
No, but I'm gonna beat it. Just like what we did with Dredd. I told him, I was like, I'm determined, man. I'll beat it.
I would say too that the closest game that I see that Sega made later or after on the Wii was Mad World. That looks kind of similar to...
Yes, that Mad World does look very similar. That's crazy. All right, yeah, I forgot about Mad World.
And that's done by Sega, too. I didn't even know that.
Sega and Platinum Games made that, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like... It's still possible they could come back with something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, so... What do you guys rate this game?
What do I rate it? I'm going to say...
Since this is your time playing it, what do you rate this game?
I could rate it about a 7, yeah. It's
7? That's crazy. You gave it a 7?
I gave it a 7. Because I haven't unlocked like the full potential of it. I still didn't even get far enough. Like it, you know what I mean? Like, so, and I'm still like kind of like in the beginning half, because when I played it, I was like, all right, I just came off of Castlevania vibe. And so when I jumped off of that vibe and then come into this, I'm like, I died, go right back to the beginning. I'm like, oh my God, man.
Damn, yeah. That's crazy. It means we want to play it.
For me, comments on. For me, I would give it a 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
That's what I said. Like 7 to 8.
I'll let y'all keep it there then.
Like 7 to 8 is like well deserved. Like
right, exactly.
Yeah. So, guys, we're gonna have so much more retro rewinds for you. Some classic games that. Like whenever we get our hands on it, we'll play and
we stream it. We stream it.
We'll stream it on Twitch, anywhere, YouTube, you know, wherever. But we'll keep up with the retro rewinds, give you some classic games.
Yeah,
some nostalgia there.
They definitely love the Castlevania one when we did that, so they want to see more of that.
Yeah, so we'll get more into that.
I got a surprise for y'all then next week.
We all have some ideas on some retro rewind games that we should try out. Some really, you know, gold that we got. Does anybody else have anything to say before we end this episode today?
Nope.
Nah, we're pretty good.
All right, well, guys, please comment, like, and subscribe. We'd like your feedback.
Peace.